Hello, Utah, and welcome to the Strategic Retirement Radio Show.
This is Ryan Craner, and we are Strategic Planning Group, coming to you from historic Main Street in Bountiful. This show helps you navigate the minefield of investment and retirement planning. We have a simple, straightforward, liquid, and efficient approach to investment management. We focus on what the common person can do now to have an uncommon lifestyle in retirement. Let me ask you, are you tired of the same old sales pitches coming from financial advisors? How many times have you heard about magical tax-free, risk-free investments and Social Security secrets? These sales pitches fall way short of addressing what people really need in retirement planning. At Strategic Planning Group, the goal is to gather all the necessary professionals around the same table to develop a complete blueprint for your retirement and financial strategy. This includes investment management, estate, legal, and tax strategies, all combined to help you achieve your ideal lifestyle during retirement.
All right, so let's talk about beneficiaries. All qualified 401k and IRA accounts have named beneficiaries, primary and contingents. At Strategic Planning Group, we spend a great deal of time with our clients making sure the beneficiary designations of their retirement accounts are well thought out, regularly updated, and accurate. Now, here's why, how, and who you've named as beneficiaries is so important. Remember, traditional IRAs and 401ks are 100% taxable to your beneficiaries. Oftentimes, many people are advised by their attorney to name their trust as either the primary or the contingent beneficiary of their IRAs and 401k accounts. Now, this can be especially problematic and expensive to your beneficiaries if it's not done correctly. So I have Tom Craner with us. Tom, tell us what you see as you're reviewing beneficiaries for new clients.
Well, very commonly as I meet with new clients, they are well aware of where their accounts are held and so forth. But as I ask them who their beneficiaries are, spouses very commonly look at each other like, well, I don't know. I'm sure it's my wife or my husband as the beneficiary. And then when I ask them who they have as their contingent beneficiaries, they once again have an unsure look on their face. The bottom line is that people often don't know who they've named as contingent beneficiaries.
You know, that's so true, Tom. That's what I've experienced as well. Now, that's why we would invite any listener out there to go to strategicutah.com and take our Strategic Retirement Score Test, what we call our SRS. If you're approaching retirement, this will give you a score on how ready you are. If you're already retired, this will give you an even more important score on how complete and secure your retirement is. Once again, go to strategicutah.com. So, Tom, what other kind of mistakes are you seeing out there that people make with their beneficiary designation?
Yeah, well, just like the movie, I see dead people.
I remember that movie. Yeah, well, what do you mean by dead people?
Yeah, well, very often I'll be sitting in front of a new client, and when we get to the beneficiary discussion, we discover that a deceased spouse or child is named as the primary beneficiary.
Oh,
obviously,
wow.
This is a big mistake. You know, dead people do not make good beneficiaries. First, if a deceased person is named as the primary beneficiary, then it defaults to the contingent beneficiary. But we've seen numerous cases where a deceased person is named as the primary beneficiary and they failed to even name a contingent. So guess what? Now the estate of the account holder is the default beneficiary. There's a big problem here because it all becomes taxable all at once. So whoever ends up ultimately inheriting the estate, the IRA money is taxed all in 1 year. Now, just
wow.
think if $1 million plus IRA or 401k and the huge and unnecessary tax expense that that could be.
Yes, that's awfully expensive. So now, Tom, I know the answer to this, but why would anybody name a dead person as their beneficiary?
Yeah. Well, obviously, they don't name the dead person as their beneficiary. But what happens here is a lack of good advice and proper planning, and especially a lack of good proper review process year by year. They name a very much alive person to begin with, a spouse, child, whomever, who subsequently passes away, and then they fail to review their beneficiaries, sometimes for years. And then they have these tax landmines hidden in their estate.
Yes. People make these mistakes all the time. You know, I remember several years back, I was in a meeting with new clients, a husband and wife, And they've been married like 20 years. It was just over 20 years. And I'm asking them about their investment assets and their retirement assets. And the husband has this large $1 million plus IRA. And I ask about the beneficiaries. And he looks at his wife and he says, well, certainly the beneficiary is my wife here. So we open the account, we start to look through the details, and we actually discover that the primary beneficiary is his ex-wife of more than 20 years earlier. Now, ouch, that must have been a long ride home for that guy.
Yeah.
So obviously we corrected the error long before it became a problem, but just to understand this, the court is going to enforce the named beneficiary. No matter how wrong, inaccurate, or unintentional it is, the precedent law here is very clear. So not only is this a critical process to make sure your money goes to who you want and how you want, but since pensions, 401ks, and IRAs are 100% taxable as ordinary income, mistakes in this area can be really expensive. So many people were advised by their estate planning attorney to name their trust as the primary or contingent beneficiary on their retirement accounts. This makes sense because the client and their attorney have a very well thought out and specific distribution plan to their beneficiaries. Tom, tell us what happens when people want to name their trust as a beneficiary.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of nuance here. There are reasons why people want to name the trust as the beneficiary. It is a very detailed and well thought out distribution plan for their family, like you said, but rather than just naming spouses and children directly, they are dictating how and when the money is distributed through the trust. That's partly what a trust does. The second reason to name a trust as a beneficiary on a retirement account is to quote unquote rule from the grave.
Rule from the grave. That sounds very like dark. Now, what do you mean by rule from the grave?
Yeah, well, you know, generally speaking, with retirement account beneficiaries, you name a person and the money goes to that person. End of story. There are no restrictions or any language to protect that beneficiary from themselves. And most of our clients do not like the idea of their beneficiaries inheriting a multi-million dollar estate and making mistakes like blowing the money or using the money to feed an unfortunate addiction or vice. So the rule from the grave concept is sometimes important to people. So there are ways to rule from the grave and protect your beneficiaries from spendthrift mistakes, investment mistakes, etc., by using a trust. And this actually works really well when it's structured correctly. However, the nuance is that you cannot simply name the trust as the primary beneficiary and expect that to work out. Your trust can be, and in many cases should be, the primary beneficiary, but there is precise and legal process that's required to prevent unnecessary taxation to your beneficiaries. We see so many people get this wrong.
Boy, you're right about that. So you know, Tom, something I've ran into in the past 30 plus years, a lot of families, a lot of people have one of their children that they know to be especially responsible. So Tom, what's your experience where they want to leave one kid as the responsible person and make them the 100% beneficiary?
Yeah, you know, it's a really bad idea to name a single child as the beneficiary and entrust them to ensure that the rest of the siblings get their fair shares, even if they're trustworthy. I mean, first off, this causes a huge tax burden to the one child named as beneficiary. Remember, IRAs and retirement accounts are 100% taxable to the beneficiary. They can't go transferring them around to other siblings without paying the taxes and potential penalties. Furthermore, we've seen families and siblings absolutely torn apart and their relationships destroyed over a bad beneficiary designation.
You're listening to Strategic Retirement Radio, brought to you by Strategic Planning Group, located on Historic Main Street in Bountiful, Utah. You know, we've talked a lot about these fixed index annuities and some of the disadvantages like low returns and the inability to outpace inflation. People like these guaranteed annuities because they don't have a lot of volatility risk. John, talk to us about that.
We have ways to address inflation risk and volatility. As wealth management advisors, we have a hands-on portfolio management approach. In other words, we manage investments directly for our clients. You know, it seems everyone else I'm hearing on the radio is looking to sell an index annuity or a life insurance product and just move on. Well, we don't like locking people up in long-term insurance or annuity contracts like that. We look to help people wisely manage their investments through time. Let's talk about wise investment management. we believe it is crucial to follow three capital concepts, and those are liquidity, capital preservation, and diversification. So regarding liquidity, when you buy an indexed annuity or life insurance product, you're taking an income from a sum of money that the institution controls. We feel the better way is for you to take an income from a sum of money that you control. If you're stuck in a 10 to 20 year contract with limited strategies and income allowances, you've likely given up a huge part of your liquidity. And I think there is a massive liquidity crisis building out there for a lot of people. Their money is locked up in a long-term fixed annuity, life insurance, or other illiquid investment. But the ability to change course and select new investments is, in our opinion, vital to long-term success. You don't know how your future plans and needs may change. And if you're stuck in a contract that stops performing well or never performs the way you thought it would, then you may not be able to respond to a changing economy. You could forfeit a lot of potential gains this way. I have an issue with the constant selling of annuities and whole life insurance by the salespeople you hear on the radio. I think they are preying on emotions, and especially fear. These guys will make you think the only way to not lose your money is to give it away to an insurance company and surrender your liquidity.
John, you're making a great point here, and of course you're right. It's hard to respond to a changing economy when you're locked into one set strategy. Liquidity allows us to continually manage and update a client's portfolio based on current conditions. So I've talked to people that are already in annuity products like this, and while there might be exit fees to consider, there may be ways to exit these illiquid products favorably and get back on track.
Exactly, Ryan. As a matter of fact, if someone has just recently signed up for one of these products, they typically have at least a 10-day free look period after the contract was delivered. That means if you're not sure about your decision, you can still change your mind. I strongly recommend that you go to strategicutah.com and fill out our SOS form. SOS stands for Second Opinion Service. You simply fill out the form and we'll analyze your recent decision and give you our professional opinion.
Okay, so let's talk about our next concept, which is capital preservation. So John, tell us how people can control risk without having to buy a guarantee from an insurance company.
Well, there are specific ways to manage investments in order to protect capital and minimize risk without sacrificing liquidity. All of this can be accomplished while potentially getting the competitive rates of return you are hoping for. For example, as money managers, we create and manage investment portfolios. We customize these portfolios to have varying degrees of risk and return for each individual. We don't have a one-size-fits-all approach like so many others. And there are ways to minimize risk and provide sustainable, predictable income. You may not have to avoid investments altogether and fall into insurance traps in order to draw an income and have financial stability. As I mentioned, we have customized investment models with varying degrees of risk and return. Perhaps growth and rate of return is more important to you than the downside protection that we've been talking about. The good news is we have investment options tailored for you as well. Maybe you're wondering how your current portfolio compares to one of ours. We'd be happy to do a comparison for you. You just need to go to our website, strategicutah.com, and submit the Second Opinion Service request. We'll help you analyze and compare your current investment portfolio to any of ours.
So, John, something I've noticed is that most advisors don't actually hands-on manage investments like we do, like you're describing. They farm it out. Can you explain a little more about that?
Well, yeah, some advisors are not what I would call true investment managers. I like to call these people the more typical financial advisor. They advise you on investments, but they don't actually manage them for you. They'll use these third-party money managers instead. So in this scenario, a third-party money manager controls the investing, which I'm really not a fan of. That third-party company decides what to own in your portfolio and when to transact. Part of the problem is that while your advisor may have your risk tolerance and goals in mind, third-party portfolio managers don't know you like your advisor does or should. They haven't met you, so how on earth can they make the best decisions on your behalf? Also, it begs the question, why would you pay your advisor and a third-party group to do the same job? I believe that's just simply overpaying. But since we manage your money directly here at Strategic Planning Group, we have a strong ability to customize and maintain your investments as you see fit. This brings us to our third capital concept of being properly diversified. You know the cliche, don't put all of your eggs in one basket? Well, Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. Keeping your portfolio liquid and diversified is, in our opinion, vital to your success. When you purchase an insurance product, your money is in one company. When you invest in our managed investment portfolios, your money is designed to be spread across hundreds to thousands of companies. This is a much more diversified approach.
Well, exactly. And it really doesn't mean you need like five different financial advisors or anything like that. It just means that you need to make sure the portfolio is actually diversified.
Right. And one more point I'd like to make with this is we meet with our clients on a regular basis. This is so we can show them a report card and remain accountable for what's going on in their accounts over time.
That's a great point. We keep regular reviews and communicate well with our clients. That's something our firm has always been proud of. That's one of the things I've insisted that myself and all the wealth management advisors here at Strategic Planning Group strictly adhere to. Regular reviews with our clients, where we give them a report card on performance, the retirement strategy, the tax minimization strategy, all these important things that we have to stay on top of because they're always changing.
You know, and it's interesting, a very common complaint I hear from new clients is that they never heard from their previous advisors. I imagine it's very disconcerting to have so much going on in the markets and economy, yet you're not hearing from your advisor. There are other advisors out there who work hard for their clients, and that makes them good advisors. But it's when an advisor remains engaged and proactive that they become a great advisor. And I would say you deserve great service, not just good.
Well said, John. There's a lot of good service out there, but people really deserve great service, especially when it comes to retirement investments and some of the largest financial transactions you'll make in a lifetime. You're listening to Strategic Retirement Radio, brought to you by Strategic Planning Group, located on historic Main Street in Bountiful, Utah. We're going to discuss 401k plans. For most Americans, the 401k is the single most important wealth building and retirement accumulation opportunity they have. Some employers name them differently. Federal employees, they call it the Thrift Savings Plan. Other employers use various nicknames. The point is, taking advantage of your employer retirement savings plan is a crucial, tax-favored way to save for retirement. Now, most people know what a 401k is, and most people know that it is very important. However, many people have delayed putting substantial contributions into their 401k. This can easily be solved by simply doing your retirement planning so that you know how much you need to be contributing in order to retire right. Bottom line is that your 401k is a vital component and crucial to your retirement plan. With proper advice, you can make sure your 401k works for you and your goals rather than against them. So I have John Park here. John, expand on this for a minute and tell us what you see with these issues.
Well, you know, a lot of people make the mistake of being reactive with their 401ks and not proactive. And what I mean by that is you need to plan out your investment strategy and stick to it. Don't start selling when the market drops, because I've got news for you. Market timing is destructive and has not worked historically. You need to understand your 401k investment options and use the right ones over time. By the way, don't just copy your coworker. Way too many people get bad advice from their coworkers. We recommend using a methodical and diversified investment strategy in your 401k. This strategy can help you avoid major mistakes. Clearly, it's very important to adjust and rebalance your investment strategy regularly. This is where a real and good advisor is critical.
John, this is so true. People need to pay close attention to the investment strategy in their retirement plans. So we have Tom Craner here. Tom, what do you see on 401ks?
Well, one thing I see very often is a perception issue. When we as advisors ask a client if they're contributing the maximum to their 401k, they will often answer yes. But after a bit more digging, we find out that they are not in fact contributing the maximum amount, but rather are contributing enough to get their employer match. And while this is great, it is the bare minimum, not the maximum. To make it clear, if you're under 50 years old, you can put $19,500 per year, and if you're over 50 years old, you can put $26,000 per year into your 401k. Those are the maximum contributions. The full amount of your contribution is completely pre-tax, and this is one of the only deductions that exists where you didn't actually spend the money on expenses. It's not gone. It's in your account earning interest.
You're right, Tom. The tax benefits of funding 401ks are undeniable. Now, another common misperception that I see is centered around 401k loans. They put into the tax code and the ERISA laws the ability for 401k participants to sort of borrow their own money from their 401k balance without having to pay tax or penalty as long as they pay the loan back. So many people make the mistake that this is a tax-free, interest-free loan when this is anything but an interest-free loan and can become taxable very easily. John, tell me what you see when it comes to 401k loans.
Like you said, 401k loans are a very expensive way to borrow money, and they are perceived as a tax-free way to loan yourself money with a cheap or zero interest rate. But this is the important thing to understand about a 401k loan. While there is little or no stated interest charged, the money is no longer invested in the plan. So you are sacrificing the rate of return that you would have earned on that money. For example, last year, the S&P 500 did 18%. Therefore, anyone who had money invested in the index and borrowed against their 401k effectively lost 18% on their loan amount because it was not invested in the account. It was out on loan. And if you didn't earn it, you lost it. That's exactly the same thing as paying 18% for the loan. Think about it. If you saw a bank offering loans at 18%, would you run down there and apply for that loan? Of course, you wouldn't purposely pay 18% for a loan, yet people do it all too often with their 401ks.
Yes, it's true. We see this very often. Many people fundamentally misunderstand the expense and peril of 401k loans. Now, when I say peril, what I mean is that these loans can suddenly become taxable and penalized. Tom, tell us how this could happen.
Yeah. People get caught by surprise all too often when they have a large loan they've taken against their 401k. Here's how it happens. Let's say you have a $50,000 balance on your 401k loan and you retire, get laid off, change employers, all very common things that happen to people. And this loan is now due after termination or it becomes a distribution. So either you come up with $50,000 to pay back the loan immediately or you pay income taxes on the balance, plus for those under the age of 59 and a half, you will pay an additional 10% in IRS penalties. All of this on top of the missed returns that John was mentioning.
Well said, guys. Here's another common mistake we see people making, and that is having old 401k plans sort of laying around and not being monitored and properly managed. This is human nature, and it's another example of piecemeal planning rather than strategic planning. In today's world, it's not uncommon for people to have 5 and 6 employers throughout their working life. We get busy, and these 401ks just sort of sit there, most of the time because there's not a clear recommendation or solution. So the easy thing to do is just ignore it and deal with it later. The problem is, when we discover this in new clients we meet with, these have been sitting there oftentimes for 10 and 12 years. The rate of return disadvantage here is substantial. When we compare what they would have earned in 5 or 6 plain vanilla 401k investment options in an old plan versus what they could have earned with a strategic portfolio that is monitored and maintained. If this is sounding familiar, we recommend that you go to strategicutah.com and take advantage of our Strategic Retirement Score, SRS. The SRS is a short test and questionnaire where you can see your score on how complete your financial and retirement planning is. Also, for a second opinion on any big investment or retirement decision you are trying to make, take advantage of our Second Opinion Service, SOS. The SOS provides you with a quick and thorough analysis and comparison on any important retirement decision, whether this is a proposed investment idea you're considering, or selecting a pension or Social Security option. we can provide you with a complimentary, detailed, and professional analysis, no strings attached. Just go to strategicutah.com or call us at 801-627-2200. You're listening to Strategic Retirement Radio, brought to you by Strategic Planning Group, located on historic Main Street in Bountiful, Utah. Did you know the income option you choose from your pension could have negative effects on the taxation of your Social Security income? The options are complex and your choices are irrevocable. Be sure to get good advice and have a sound strategy on your pension options and your Social Security income claiming strategy. You can reach us at strategicutah.com or 801-627-2200. For answers on how prepared you are for retirement, go to strategicutah.com and take advantage of our Strategic Retirement Score, SRS. The SRS is a short test and questionnaire where you can see your score on how complete your financial and retirement planning is. Also, for a second opinion on any big retirement or investment decision that you're trying to make, take advantage of our Second Opinion Service, SOS. The SOS provides you with a quick and thorough analysis and comparison on any important retirement decision. Whether this is a proposed investment idea you're considering or selecting a pension or Social Security option, we can provide you with a complimentary, detailed, and professional analysis. No strings attached. Just go to strategicutah.com. Make sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show. We will discuss pension decisions, investment mistakes, and little-known tax reduction strategies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Strategic Planning Group and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Strategic Planning Group makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. Topics should be discussed with your individual advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Strategic Planning Group, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. SOS and SRS should not be construed as recommendations or advice. Estate plans must be written by a qualified legal professional. Tax advice must be provided by a qualified tax advisor. Legal and tax planning services are provided by attorneys and tax advisors not associated with Strategic Planning Group. Strategic Planning Group is not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency.